Welcome to the London Sound Posse Elephant in the Room special podcast with views, reviews and interviews about the new feature-length documentary written, directed and edited by Dean Puckett. I'm Michael, your one-man sound posse, at least for the moment, also representing We Are Change UK, and I have to say a big respect to the We Are Change crews all around the world. We were lucky enough to be invited to the friends and family premiere of The Elephant in the Room at the Genesis Cinema in East London. This was a few weeks ago. The Elephant in the Room looks at 9/11 truth movement, both in the US and the UK, and prominently features interviews with emergency service personnel who were active on September 11, 2001, and who are now gravely, somewhat mysteriously, ill. Later on, we'll hear from the film's director, Dean Puckett, and one of his co-producers, Tosee Fayez, as well as prominent 9/11 truth skeptic, amongst other things, Nick Pope. But first, we asked members of the audience, some of them 9/11 truth activists, but all of them just fairly ordinary people, what they thought of the film. Can I ask you for your view of The Elephant in the Room by Dean Puckett?
Yeah, fantastic film. Very well put together. All the facts are there. Yeah, very good. Very, very good film. Very good film.
Very good film. I recommend that everybody should watch it. It's an excellent film and it raises questions about the official version of events. You can't come away from that film without thinking that there's something not right about the official version.
Very powerful. Reminded me of a lot of stuff that I'd known and taught me stuff I didn't know.
It was very, very moving. It very much stays in the memory and makes for optimism despite the gravity of the subject.
I think the first thing is that just this overwhelming sadness for the accounts that we heard in the movie, especially now from the first responders. I feel confused about how come we were lied to on such a massive global level. Of course, I understand the arguments, but there's just anger. You know, there's just anger that's just one of many, many lies, really. But the thing that I'd like to say is that Dean has done a really good job in opening a window so that other people can see exactly what was going on, because so many people just don't believe it.
I thought it was a very impressive film. You know, there are a kind of wealth of 9/11 truth films out there. Predominantly, they tend to talk about the evidence mainly. This one was slightly different in that it actually kind of covered the plight of the first responders who are really key in all this. I mean, these are the people who have really been forgotten about. These were the heroes. These were the people that saved lives, that went through a lot of the gruesome work with, you know, collecting body parts, etc., amongst all the rubble of the World Trade Centers. These are also the people who have actually now been refused healthcare and the funds they need to actually sort of, you know, obtain that healthcare. There are a lot of people in the truth movement, and of course this film also covers the movement both in Britain and in America, and so I think it's important that people see the reasons as to why, you know, normal people feel the need to go out there and educate the people on this issue. You know, often we're kind of branded as conspiracy theorists. It's, you know, it seems to be a bit of an epithet, you know, a kind of ad hominem that really prevents people from thinking about the real issues or
forecloses discussion.
Exactly, and it works a treat, you know. So I think people need to be reminded about the heroes of 9/11, the fact that they are being refused healthcare, the fact that, you know, these people are, some of them are going through financial ruin, they've lost their homes, all because, you know, the government aren't prepared to give them the money that these people deserve. So I think this film was fantastic in highlighting that. I think Dean's done a brilliant job, and, you know, I hope that the film gets the recognition it deserves, and, you know, I hope, really do hope, the movement grows, you know, as a result of it.
Can I trouble you for a reaction to The Elephant in the Room?
Yes, I absolutely loved it. I just think it's really good to have a documentary that's about people's experiences of what's happened, kind of just getting away from the politics and stuff like that. I think for people to sit down and look at how people have been treated is just so important. And I just think it's so obvious that there was asbestos in the buildings. It wasn't safe, you know, so it's obvious, you know, what's going on. And to just hear everybody talking about their illnesses and stuff, I just think it's going to have a really strong impact.
I thought it was a great film. It's very much a human documentary on a hot, really hot topic. But it's a hot topic that the mainstream media just doesn't touch at all. And what this film did is it really painted a picture of the movement. And it had
9/11 Truth Movement.
9/11 Truth Movement, yes. It's very moving. And also, quite somber in places because it's a reality that's still going on, and there's the first responders are still suffering greatly for their health, and it really exposes a lot of lies and unanswered questions that people really have to answer. Everyone can be misled as to kind of a big idea. And when I saw 9/11, I just thought something just was not right about it at all. I mean, you saw the South Tower collapse, and you could, I was watching it and I saw, hang on, that fire's nearly gone out. And then it just came down, and you just thought something's not right about that. And ever since then, I mean, there's just more and more evidence come to light, and it's now the question's quite firm for me, really.
Would someone say it's just kind of the stuff of paranoiacs? How would you defend yourself against that charge?
Well, I would just say, I can say you can get carried away with things, but these things just demand to be looked at. You cannot just believe that something's true because the official story is, and everyone else seems to believe it, and the mainstream media paints it as true. You've got to... I'd say don't be paranoid. I don't run around fearing that there's kind of agents in black about to whisk me off the streets. Life goes on, but it's just, yeah, no, things are not right with the world. You've got to think about this stuff.
Actually, this is the second time I've seen it. My first reaction when I saw it, I thought it was just brilliant. I've seen some 9/11 sort of documentaries and films, and a lot of it's very technical, and some of it's kind of crazy.
I mean, speed of free fall.
Yeah, I am personally quite convinced by that. I know some people don't, but I think this is Elephant in the Room is just one of those kinds of movies. I think it will really speak to sort of people who don't know about the movement.
I thought that was a great film. I really thought that Dean handled a very serious issue, and an issue that's got so many dimensions to it. But he picked up on the issues that matter, the people themselves, in the most sensitive and mature way. And he really brought a human aspect to something which is a very physical thing. Buildings collapsing, dust, machinery, equipment. There's not a great deal of space in there for the human condition, but that's what Dean managed to do. He brought in the human condition into it. It meant that you didn't have to deal with all the...
It's freefall speed. Did it come down at freefall speed?
Yeah, there are no theories being proposed.
No theories were proposed. No technicalities. Just looking at the fact that human beings were inside those things. You know, human beings were turned into dust. What an immensely powerful film. On so many levels.
I think it's really good because, well, great actually, because it comes from a different angle than all the other ones I've seen about 9/11. It's like his personal little journey. His personal little journey, and then all the way through meeting different people. That's the thing, when you get into this sort of thing, you just meet so many different people that from all different walks of life that just got up and thought, well, that's a bit strange. Yeah, he's a very talented man.
Interesting about the UK, not just the UK, but the truth movement in general, that people are always categorizing them as like they're all like this and all like that, but actually it's a really, really diverse group of people from all walks of life.
Yeah, they got this term conspiracy theory, haven't they? So, which is quite laughable now, I think. It's just brought out and laid out, and it's a sort of end of the argument.
Yeah, it's a foreclosed discussion.
Yeah. No, you go, well, so we're not allowed to question anything these days. You know, man has only got to where we are now by questioning things, and yeah, we still blow each other up, but at least there's lots of people out there thinking, well, maybe we want a better world. How are we going to get there still? And we've always thought about that. So the ability to question is our most important faculty, I think.
We're talking to Andy from We Are Change UK, who looks like a member of the Stone Roses, but is actually famous for his street activism. And I'm sure I saw you somewhere in that film. Tell me how that came about.
Yeah, I was in the film very briefly for all of about 5 seconds. Basically, when we were at Notting Hill Carnival, Dean came and filmed us just taking out flyers and some of the famous Gareth Newnham boards to the Notting Hill Carnival, and a police officer came up and wanted to know what we were doing. So I gave him a leaflet and just said we were campaigning for a new investigation to 9/11, at which point he looked at the flyer and let us know that everybody knew that no plane hit the Pentagon. Not a position I take, I don't know what happened at the Pentagon, but quite interesting that the police are happy to say this on camera for us.
What did you think of the film The Elephant in the Room by Dean Puckett?
Oh, it's amazing. It's a brilliant film. I've seen, I wouldn't say all the 9/11 films, but I've seen most of them. I honestly probably couldn't watch another 9/11 film again. I mean, it's telling me stuff I already know, and I've seen all those images.
Or questions you already have.
Or questions I already have, and I've seen all those images far too many times. I don't need to keep looking at those images. well, this film focuses firstly on the people involved in the campaigning side of it, but then obviously then sort of moves towards the first responders, and you sort of see the human cost of this all, and you sort of realise, sort of makes you feel why you are doing this in the first place. I mean, it's not just obviously the human cost of the first responders in New York, but the wars that have gone, we've had as a result. I mean, everyone talks about Iraq, but I mean, Afghanistan's almost a forgotten war at the moment. I mean, people don't even think about it.
Long-time 9/11 campaigner in the UK, Belinda McKenzie. What do you think of Dean Puckett's film, Elephant in the Room?
Well, the first time I saw it last week, because he showed it already at the South Bank, and I must say it affected me for about two or three days afterwards, because it was just so moving. It's such a powerful film. And I think that's what, in a way, being a constant campaigner sometimes doesn't exactly blunt your sensibilities, because you've always got that sort of shadow of realisation of what you're doing at the back of your mind. But on the other hand, when you really confront this issue and you see what actually happened, as it was beautifully presented in Dean's film, then you can go through the whole horror and the experience you had when you first realised what an injustice this whole scam has been. You can go through that all over again and become quite emotional. So I actually had quite a bad couple of days last week. And so I was prepared for that today. But this is what we need to see, is that this issue is not just 6 years down the line and life has moved on and events in the world have moved on, which is what some of the people who try to rubbish our movement say. They say, you know, oh, you're stuck in 2001 and now it's 2007 or 2008 and all the rest of this stuff has happened. What this does is bring that issue right up to the present. These people, particularly the first responders, are suffering now. There's a huge amount of pain around that issue which has not been properly addressed. There's huge questions. The whole thing is live and raw and requiring to be closely looked at now. And that's really the message of this film. It's still now that it's relevant.
I'm speaking with Gareth Newman, legendary activist on the streets of London. What do you think of The Elephant in the Room?
I thought it was very slick, very well put together, and will be a very effective film in getting the point across. There are serious questions that need to be answered about the events of September the 11th and the war on terror. Because like the title of the film is The Elephant in the Room, there are thousands of people around the world trying to tell everyone else that something seriously fishy happened that day. And I think the film is probably the best example of any film out there at the moment. Because all the other films are made in a conspiracy style, the actual quality of the production isn't that good, and that's the best film I've seen.
So it was beautifully edited, first of all. I really enjoyed the part with Cynthia McKinney. Like, there was a very sort of human element to how he filmed it. Like, there was a shot where she was talking and then he went and kind of looked at her straining a tea bag or something. I just thought that was like a really, really nice human element to it. It covered so much ground as well, from say like her talking to the reaction of the Muslim community and the first responders, which you know, I found really upsetting.
Are you a seasoned activist or is this new to you?
This is pretty new to me, to be honest. I mean, I started getting more active in a lot lower key way by just going to rallies and getting information and things like that. Actually, I went to a Synergy, and I think it was you gave me a flyer because you were showing Loose Change at Brixton. In terms of activism...
Oh, it's all my fault.
Yes, yeah, it is. I've got involved with the guys from We Are Change, and they're just, I think they're the most amazing, like, daring, brave, in-the-know group of people that I've been exposed to ever, really. I'm going to go along on the 11th of every month from now on and get a campaign and get on the bullhorn, do more talking like this, and just basically be that voice. Now that I have the knowledge, the increasing knowledge, I'm going to articulate it to other people so they can then investigate, and, you know, it's like that ripple effect. Things will just grow and grow from there.
What was your reaction to Elephant in the Room?
I actually thought it was a superb film. I really enjoyed it. It's like it's two different films. In a way, you get the first hour, it's very entertaining, very well-paced, sort of like traverses this world of conspiracy theorists, and you've got little English towns, and it follows people like Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney.
Very interesting to see her kind of combing her hair and stuff like that and playing around
really liked that. I really liked the way that all of the interviews with her, she's even filing her nails or combing her hair. She had that really sort of, you know, feminine side of her still there.
Fantastic contrast between kind of facing Donald Rumsfeld to kind of being in a shepherd's bush salon getting her hair plaited.
Yeah, I did think it was a really good reflection of her. And that's one thing the film did really well, which was catch these excellent portraits of people that were already quite well known. Alex Jones, I thought, as well. Because obviously he controls his own output. Most of you know him from his own films and his own radio show. But just to have that film sort of seeing this funnier side of him, you know, when he's sort of making fun out of Geraldo, you know, and shouting at that guy that you punched him in the back, you little punk, and stuff like that. I think Dean's really good at finding something human in people. You know, even William Rodriguez, when he got that little sort of outburst off him, you know what I mean? He's normally a very sort of...
Are you questioning me?
Exactly. You know, he managed to find something human in all of his subjects, and none more so than the last half hour, which is about the first responders. Very emotional.
Much more somber.
Much more somber. Obviously, for Dean as a filmmaker, I think it's a triumph. For us as a movement, I think it's also very good because it's an objective film. It's not a film sort of proposing conspiracy theories. It just basically shows the movement for what it is. You know, it's at times crazy, it's at times very passionate, it's at times very thoughtful and insightful. And I think it will just make people, because it's much more mainstream acceptable, it will just bring the awareness that this movement exists there to a lot of people who hadn't realised it before. And I think it's going to do us a great service. And well done to Dean.
My name's Nick Pope. I used to work for the Ministry of Defence. I worked there for 21 years.
And you've just seen a screening of The Elephant in the Room. What was your reaction to it?
Well, certainly there were some very powerful images there and some powerful testimony, particularly I think from the first responders. The ones of which we saw were clearly sort of saying there were various healthcare issues arising from inhalation of toxic fumes, asbestos, concrete dust, etc. I think the one potential difficulty with a film like this is mixing two different issues, because you have that healthcare issue amongst first responders, and then you have the separate question of whether 9/11 was an inside job or not. So it was a powerful film, but it could run the risk of falling between two stools by mixing those two, I think, very different questions.
I can't speak for the filmmakers, but what I would think was the fact that the EPA, which is the Environmental Protection Agency, said that it was safe to work in this zone would come across to people who think that the whole thing is suspicious as being another lie, and another very, very costly lie, which costs lots of lives.
Well, I think with all these issues, there has to be a sort of comparative analysis. Any medical study, what you'd have to do. I mean, we heard from a sort of a handful of people. You would have to do a proper medical study where you took literally thousands of the first responders and you actually looked at their health situation now, but also you looked at their lifestyle. I mean, were these long-term smokers? Were these people who had other healthcare issues before? And it's only when you do that sort of comparative analysis of the sort of general health situation that you can really deduce in a scientific way whether any ill effects that people are suffering now are a direct consequence of sort of toxic fumes, etc., in the 9/11 situation, or whether it's a more general healthcare issue. But that's not to take anything away from them. I mean, clearly, this is medical research that needs to be conducted. I would fully support that.
You initiated a very interesting debate on the James Whale radio show with Annie Machon and the other executive producer of Loose Change and others. How, if anything, has your view of the 9/11 truth movement and the reaction to the official story evolved over the last few months?
Well, my introduction to this was a challenge to, as someone whose background was in government, and my most recent post before I resigned in 2006 was in a security division. So I was challenged to look at the official story, and I read the 9/11 Commission report, I read the Popular Mechanics article, I read the material on the State Department website, but I also talked to people like Tim Spark and Ian Henschel, and I watched Loose Change, I looked at some of the material that argued against the official story. I mean, my view now actually is the same as it was after I conducted that initial research. I still, think that the official story holds up. I don't buy into the conspiracy theorists' view that this was an inside job for a wide range of reasons, you know, right across the board. So my presence here today to look at this film shows that I'm still interested in this issue. I'm looking at it, I hope, in an open-minded way, but my view is still that the only conspiracy here was by Al-Qaeda.
Is there anything in the film which impressed you? What did you think about it overall?
Yes, overall, I think it's a film that should be watched. I have to say that as somebody who's looked at and still rejects the 9/11 was an inside job theories, that was less interesting to me. I was less interested to see people walk around the streets shouting in megaphones than I was to see the people who'd been on the scene as first responders to listen to their issues about healthcare. And that, to me, was the more interesting issue and the issue that I think does need looking at, because of course, as we know, with things like smoking and a whole range of healthcare issues, very often the adverse effects of a particular stimulus only become apparent years and years downstream. So I'm interested in that issue. Less interested, I have to say, with great respect to the filmmaker, but less interested in the inside job theory, which I simply don't believe.
We also asked them what they thought was the most impressive thing about the film.
The overall sincerity and honesty of how he made the movie, because you can't really argue with it. You know, you can't argue with people's personal experiences, and I think that's what it's going to take to make all the people who don't at the minute believe that the American government could possibly do something like that. But it makes it very clear and very obvious. Totally human, that's what it is. It's just, it's reporting on it on the actual human level, which you can't lie about. And I think he's done a great job.
Everything. I think particularly the testimony of the firefighters and the first responders and the concrete. And there were bits in it, particularly the congresswoman as well.
You know, Cynthia McKinney.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't lie, really.
What about the film impressed you most?
Just seeing the normal people that are involved in this movement, that's what I think is the most effective. You see these people, you can see are intelligent people, they know their facts, they're confident about what they're talking about, and I think that really translates well on the screen.
I can't even begin, like the whole, like that guy going to Tesco's, and I mean the humorous parts, where he Dean's on Fox News getting arrested, but like I think the first responders bit is really, really touching. I think that's, and I can't remember her name, but she was she's the U.S. senator for Georgia. Yeah, on C-SPAN, Cynthia McKinney. That one was I
confronting Rumsfeld.
Absolutely, just hard-hitting questions like that. I thought that was really powerful. I have a lot of respect for her.
It had to be my 5-second cameo. That the best bit of the film for me probably was Cynthia McKinney. The Cynthia McKinney bit I think she came across very well.
Hats off to Dean. He's done a fantastic technical job. The film was so watchable, so visual, so the sound was excellent. You know, as a quality film, it's a quality film. And every single person who was interviewed on it was really, their whole personality was enhanced. I mean, the sequence with Cynthia McKinney was just lovely. And
Shepherd's Bush getting her hair plaited.
What?
Getting her hair plaited in Shepherd's
Bush. No, that was lovely. She didn't expect that. She said, ironically, that was going to end up on the cutting room floor. I thought that meant she was going to have her hair cut. But then, of course, she had one of those wonderful hairstyles. But yes, I mean, a woman like that just shows the quality of herself as a human being to be able to carry on quite naturally while having her hair done with issues that are of profound significance in the world. You know, it's just, she lives a real life, that lady, and it comes across.
What impressed you about the film the most?
I think just the journey of it and the way he slips into different areas of, you know, different people, you know, the Muslim issue and the activist issue, and straight into like the you know, this is what life's like. It's like there's no distance really between us and Congress. So he slipped straight into Congress and seen for McKinney, and then she's in London, and then right at the end of it.
Getting her hair plaited.
Yeah, getting hair plaited. She's a normal person, but she's out sitting there bamboozling Mr. Rumsfeld and the guy with all those, what is he, General or something?
General Mayer.
Lying his arse off, yeah. And it's just, but you can tell these people are just lying. You're like, oh man. And just look at their faces. But only when you reach a state of consciousness where you're just going, okay, they're only human. But then he slips into the, towards the end bit where he's got the first responders, then it becomes really human. And that's a really good way of finishing off. I mean, these people are, they're heroes.
The first responders, the emergency personnel who went down to the site itself.
Yeah, them guys and ladies as well. It's quite sad to think that they're living dead.
Cards marked, time's running out.
Yeah, they can't even bring themselves to think about the conspiracy theories or the questions, as I call it. All we have is questions. No one knows anything, do they?
No.
I mean, I know, you know, it's all bullshit anyway. But
you mean the official story?
Yeah. But that just kind of makes it concrete, if you pardon the pun.
Later on, we cornered Tussie Faiers, one of the film's co-producers, for his inside view of the film.
Any comments on the screening today?
Yeah, I'm glad a lot of people came, a lot of people who actually wanted to see it, a lot of people who were involved in it who couldn't make the original screening at the London Independent Film Festival. And they came along, I think we got a positive reaction. Watching it again, it's, you know, you get that feeling that a lot of people kind of connecting to it is kind of the human element, rather than going into the facts or the, you know, the physics or the science of 9/11.
How would you sell the film, you know, if you were in conversation with a kind of person who's skeptical about all this kind of conspiracy nonsense, quote unquote, how would you sell the film to them?
It's quite an interesting question because of the fact that, you know, we've gone over it time and time again, and we've seen it so many times between us. It's been a difficult one because we've always tried to break it down into one single thing, and there's only two things you can really say about it. It's about the 9/11 Truth Movement and it's about 9/11 first responders. You give a human angle to the 9/11 Truth Movement and you show why so many people are doing it. You know, not just people in New York, not just people who have had family members lost, but people in England, people in East Anglia. I mean, that's where the film's, you know, opened. That's how the whole idea came about. You know, why are they doing it? And then you show, you know, then you go into New York and these people, some people have been personally affected by it, some people who are just as native New Yorkers want answered or questions answered, and they've not had that. Then you show the first responders, something that's not really been shown, especially on the film. I mean, you know, you get a lot of people in New York doing some great stuff for them, but in terms of, you know, on camera, nothing's been shown before, and it really was, you know, something striking, something so powerful that needed to be documented and shown, because I think the public deserve it, but I also think more than anyone, those first responders deserve it, because they've been trying and trying and trying to get healthcare, and it, you know, all they're being told is that your sickness is not job related, the air was safe for reasons, you know, we heard, you know, it's that kind of human angle to 9/11 through the 9/11 Truth Movement and the first responders.
There are no theories, there's no conjecture about where the planes were and all the rest of it. That's quite remarkable for a film about this subject.
You don't really need to start with that. You know, you've got William Rodriguez, who is a janitor, you know, who had the master key, and, you know, he said time and time again that his story directly contradicts the official version of 9/11. Then you have Cynthia McKinney, an amazing woman. I must say, spending a week with her was just an amazing, you know, experience in itself. But, you know, the way she breaks it down, the political side of things, you know, with the war games, very important. A lot of people know about that. Then you've got Scott Forbes, who also worked at, you know, Towers. And then he was talking about something as simple as the power downs. And, you know, first the Port Authority and the government not actually acknowledging it. And then not actually denying it altogether. I'm talking about the Port Authority here. Denying it altogether, and just these little things, it just, you know, makes people think. My friend was sitting in there, she knows nothing about it, and she came out, the first thing she said to me was, it really makes you think. So hopefully that's what, you know, we'll get from the majority of the viewers.
What got you into 9/11 activism, briefly? Or 9/11 truth activism, I should say.
I think what got me into 9/11 just period was, for most people, just like most people, Loose Change. I remember watching Loose Change 1. Like that, it started from there. You know, then you start doing your own research. It's not just about watching a film and believing everything it says. You know, you have to watch your, you know, you have to go and do your own research. And just as
you have to approach it with a critical kind of eye.
Absolutely. As a Muslim, I just didn't believe it in the first place, because it was not in the sense that, oh, you know, it was America. It was just the sense that questioning my own, the people who did it. You know, these are supposed to be Muslims. They're supposed to be praying. You know, they did it in the, you know, for their religions, as they said. And you know, none of it made sense. You know, the Muhammad Atta one about going, you know, to a bars the nights, you know, nights before that, going to see strippers and stuff. And I was like, well,
very strange behavior for a radical fundamental Muslim.
You know, a practicing Muslim would do that. So a radical fundamentalist would, you know, you would not see that. And I was just like, why? And then, you know, they go and throw these planes into buildings. And obviously, the first day, you know, it happened, the first few days, first few weeks even, I went, you know, I was questioning them more than the official story. The official story was like, you know, why would they do that kind of thing? For me anyway, as a Muslim, it was just like, you know, so I saw it from that angle. But then I also saw it, you know, then, so it was just those little things. But, it, you know, it's not down to what one person shows you or what one film does it for you. It's about going out there and, you know, researching it for yourself. So I hope many people go out and watch this film and come out and think, you know what?
Which leads me to my next question, really. How are you going to get this in front of people's eyeballs?
Tough one, because 9/11 is one of those subjects that, you know, it's gone to the public time and time again. You know, you talk about the elephant in the room, and the moment you mention 9/11, it's, oh, another conspiracy film. You know, our idea is to tell people that this isn't telling you what happened on 9/11. This is just showing you the 9/11 truth movement, survivors as well, like William Rodriguez, witnesses, like say Scott Forbes, just as an example, who were there, who saw it. Scott Forbes, okay, you know, was in his apartment, but he saw, you know, the second plane coming in, he saw the building, you know, you hear him talking about sand as well, how it looks like sand. William Rodriguez talking about the explosion beforehand. So it's about, you know, showing it to these people and saying, look, this isn't about, you know, what we think or what, you know, we want you to think. It's about you going out and thinking it for yourself. So hopefully people, you know, we just want as many people to watch it as possible.
Now, documentary films like this can have a major impact if they are available in the mainstream media. We asked our reviewers what chance they thought The Elephant in the Room had of making it to Channel 4 or your local Cineplex.
I would love to think it'll get shown. I still think there's resistance to this type of film being shown openly. I think, you know, we're getting closer, but I think 9/11 truth is still being fought on an official level, yeah.
I wish, you know, it would be great, because I think we were just talking outside about activism in terms of maybe grabbing a microphone in Tesco's is slightly confrontational, which came out in the movie as well. But this kind of activism where you actually see a film and you see something you can't argue with and you can see the frustration that people are experiencing is the kind of best form of activism that we've got at the moment.
I wish it would go on general release. That's the only thing I can say. So that people wake up.
Wake up to what?
The reality of what America stands for. And that film definitely gives us a real truth.
Just think, it's a very important film to get out there to show people exactly what is happening to these people as an effect of government negligence. And I really hope it goes mainstream, because I think it's a really important film, actually.
What should stop it going mainstream?
Okay, if you consider the first responders, for instance, I mean, they are like the primary source of what happened on 9/11. They've got like accounts of the explosions going off, and the powers that be, which, you know, goes hand in hand with the media, don't want that to get out to the public, because then it's kind of obvious really that there's a big cover story going on. We don't really know what happened on 9/11. As is said in the film, the truth about 9/11 is we don't know the truth about 9/11. What this film illustrates is that there needs to be an independent investigation into it, just so that we can get some light shed and just so that we can realise as a people that, you know, the media isn't the first and last say on everything. There's a whole world going on outside the media.
Basically, I think if you're not seeing this film, then you're missing out big time, because you're just being fed the mainstream films like World Trade Center starring
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
And his receding hairline.
And if you really want to know what happened at World Trade Center, come and see Elephant in the Room, because that film will open your eyes to what is actually happening on this planet. In answer to the question, I don't think you'll be seeing it in the Odeon, but hopefully what you'll see is people finding other ways to see it, the independent channels with which real truth and real reason is following.
Channel 4 always show a lot of documentaries about 9/11. It would be great to see this in one of their seasons, wouldn't it?
It would be very deserved if it was.
I think it should go on general release. Everybody needs to see it, really.
Think there's any chance it will get onto general release?
No, not at all.
Why not?
Because they'll never allow it, I don't think.
They jolly well should. I mean, really, what have they been doing all these years? There will come a point where they will start to be so ashamed of themselves that they haven't actually had the bottle to deal with this issue and have tried to sweep it under the carpet and just relegate it to being some sort of elephant in the room, exactly as the title. So there will come a moment where their shame will overcome them, and they will have to do it. And it will happen because it will be happening all around them, and they'll be left like a sort of puddle of sand when the sea's coming in that's going to be swept over any minute, so they've got to actually do something about it. It's going to be like that. This is going to impress the public hugely. It really will.
Finally, the man himself, Dean Puckett. He popped into Posse headquarters, also known as my office, to talk about his Meisterwerk.
8 weeks after the tragic events of September the 11th, 2001, I travelled to New York City with my dad, who was running the New York Marathon. A young filmmaker, I followed my father around with my video camera. Britain had aligned itself with America, and war on terror had been declared. We were already in Afghanistan.
Welcome, Dean Puckett, award-winning filmmaker, director, editor, all the rest of it, of the new documentary, The Elephant in the Room. Now, the film looks into the 9/11 truth movement, for want of a better phrase, as well as looking at the plight of the 9/11 first responders, what we'd call emergency services here in Britain, who are falling ill and dying in large numbers. It's some serious stuff indeed. Your documentary picked up an Independent Filmmakers Award recently, and more than that, you didn't just dream about making it, you got it done, which is a very impressive and moving and sometimes funny film it is too. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
You must be very proud right now. Tell us about the whole experience.
Yeah, I'm very proud. I mean, you know, in terms of talk about the award for a second, it's a fairly new festival. It's the London Independent Film Festival, organised by a guy called Eric Schultz. He's a great guy, and they had about 90 documentaries, feature-length documentaries, submitted, and out of those 90, we were one of only four that was selected to be screened at the BFI on the South Bank, and then we won. There was only two awards in the festival that for documentary. One was an international award, and one was Best British, and we won Best British Documentary. And the festival was brilliant because it's specifically for films that are made under $150,000 budget. It's nice to stick to your guns and then to see the fruition of it on the screen, you know, and I'm very confident and happy that it captivates the audience, and it's very different. There isn't a film about 9/11 that exists that is like this.
That's true. What attracted you to the subject matter in the first place, you know, making a film around 9/11?
You know, when it first happened, I was very reactionary. I was like, you know, they need to go into Afghanistan, they need to get revenge for this, you know, I was completely reactionary. Then I went there, I still felt the same because the emotion was very raw. And then I kind of, as I got a bit older, you know, as I looked, they're setting their sights on Iraq, I then started to become politicized, basically. Then I started to look into, you know, reading Noam Chomsky, watching Michael Moore films, and being very much of the standpoint that, you know, this is blowback for American foreign policy. You know, then obviously you start to hear whispers of conspiracy about it on the net. It's impossible not to if you're internet literate. It just comes through, films like Loose Change, you know, 9/11 Mysteries. And then the East Anglia Truth group, which make up the opening, the prologue of the film, essentially, is they contacted me on the internet after watching some of my short films on MySpace, and they said, you know, we're going to go out, we're going to hang banners over motorways saying investigate 9/11. Purely by chance. That was where it all started. I decided I was going to make a short film about these guys hanging banners over motorways. Then through doing that, I then met Annie Michon, who I met all the London 9/11.
Annie Michon being the former spy and former partner of David Chaler.
Yes, I basically met her because one of the guys in the group got really paranoid that I was going to make a hit piece on the 9/11 truthers. So they wanted me to meet her so she could suss me out. Right? Then she introduced...
Right. Well, you got special skills in that department.
Yeah, and then it just became what it was. We went back to New York and we got arrested and, you know, all that stuff that's in the film, which we'll definitely talk about that.
But your film, what's one of the things which is interesting about it, it does have a fresh perspective in that it's not advancing a theory. And you're very much observing rather than preaching.
First and foremost, you cannot make a documentary which is the truth. It's impossible. The moment you hit record on the camera, the moment you edit the film, it's not reality. So my kind of ideology, if you like, about how to make a documentary is that I will make something which is true to my experience of making it. It was a conscious decision, one, because that's my style of filmmaking, and two, because I think that even though I think it's an objective film, it's still an objectivity coming from my perspective. Yeah. It's impossible to debunk the elephant in the room, because you can't. It's impossible. What are you going to say? That I didn't meet the people that I met? That they didn't tell me the things that they told me? You know, I'm not pushing anybody's point of view. I'm merely reflecting them and saying, this is this person. They exist. This is what they think. They are the elephant in the room. And if you can disregard what they're saying and you can think they're talking rubbish, that's not my responsibility. My responsibility is merely to do something that the mainstream media isn't doing, which is to give them a platform to speak to you. That's kind of where I'm coming from. And that is even more important when talking about the first responders, because there's no conspiracy there. They are sick, they are dying, and they are being left hang out to dry by the
administration.
So Cynthia McKinney asks, how does a multi-trillion dollar defence system fail 4 times in one day? She asks that in Congress.
In Congress, yeah.
What interests me as a filmmaker is not so much what the answer to that question may be, even though it's obviously very intriguing, but it's the reaction to her asking that question. That's the kind of thing that I find interesting. I find those kind of... Because their reaction was basically, I won't go through the long and short of it, but go watch a film called American Blackout, but they basically kicked her out of office twice, pretty much as a direct result of asking that question. Now, what are they so threatened about? Why can't they answer that question?
Yeah. And it's an incredible kind of contrast between her in this kind of empowered position within Congress, talking to kind of people who could destroy nations with a flick of a button, and then kind of getting her head in what I presume is Shepherd's Bush Market or somewhere.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Nice little moments like that make it a very, very human film. Did you go out kind of specifically to make that kind of film?
For people to really relate to a subject or to what somebody is saying, they need to also identify with them. And that's what I try to do with everybody that I interviewed in the film. So if I couldn't find interesting characters, I wouldn't make a film like this. I wouldn't make a film that was just trying to tell you information. Right. Character for me is massively key.
That's interesting. Despite some of the gravity of the subject matter, I'm imagining you must have had some fun making the film. What were some of your favourite moments to record?
The Tesco's stuff with Phil.
There's a scene where somebody buys a Tesco shirt off eBay and hijacks a public announcement system, which is properly hilarious.
It is hilarious.
What are we doing today, Phil?
We're about to go into a Tesco store and I'm going to make an announcement for the people to consider some facts about September the 11th, 2001. Being something other than what we've been told. Now, I purchased this shirt from eBay. Handy little find, a Tesco shirt.
Osama bin Laden had nothing to do with September the 11th, 2001. That wasn't
inside. Well, that was quite a vicious takedown of my announcement.
I hit you.
you know, you can question the effectiveness of that as a kind of piece of activism, but it's certainly hilarious in the film. I mean, when you watch the scene, I think it comes across as well. It's quite toe curling. It's a little bit cringing. It's kind of like, oh God, I can't believe he's gonna do this, you know. And you watch him walk in with the Tesco shirt, and you know, like, well, imagine that magnified by 10 when I was there, just waiting for him to do it, for something to kick off, sure. You know. And all the security ran out, and I actually got the camera turned off. That's why it cuts from when he pulls him over the desk to him standing outside with the police. It works it works really well within the scene. It kind of makes it really punchy. But the reality is that the reason it's like that is because one of the security guys grabbed my camera and turned it off.
Sure.
So that.
But one of the interesting things about that is that in that and another case, which I'm sure we'll talk about, the authorities do respond really quickly to a bit of activism.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was a recurring theme throughout this film.
One of the key things about making films is funding. How did you manage to wangle getting such a high quality production made?
Well, you know, for under $3,000 you can buy a high end HDV camera now. You know, you can buy a Z1, the Sony Z1, which is what we shot this film on, which is what I did. I then funded the film myself by doing editing work and freelance camera work.
So you didn't have like a Ford Foundation or Arts Council grant or something?
Absolutely not. No. You have to show, I mean, I just did it myself.
9/11 was an inside job!
Oh, they're really twisting these guys.
Traitor!
They're putting them on.
Discovery Channel, right? Take these two right now.
The hell is breaking loose on 6th Avenue. You know, you need a permit to protest or demonstrate here in New York, but this anarchist group came forward. They really are one of the least attractive groups of demonstrators I've ever seen.
And this is the moment I got arrested live on Fox News for filming someone else getting arrested.
If violence breaks out, don't worry, we can handle it. Our Fox News team can take this bunch of... I don't want to use any foul language, but the funny thing, let me go back to our scripted program.
I have to say, I laughed heartily after you were arrested and released in the scenes in New York. And you're going, man, I don't want to be arrested again.
Yeah.
Tell us about that whole scenario.
Well, obviously, I'm filming in New York, in Times Square, and Alex Jones is there.
Jones is a broadcaster.
Yeah, Texas radio show host, and he's a documentary maker. He turns up, he gets the crowd really going, and then they find out Geraldo's doing an outside live Fox News broadcast. They go down there. They're just like shouting at him, you know, 9/11's an inside job and all that kind of stuff. Then Alex Jones gets on the bullhorn, and then I don't know what was happening, man. My head was spinning. I was just filming. I was, as I say, basically, they turn up. There's so many police. I mean, 100 police easily. And they arrest him. Me and Jethro are running around. We were on it all day. I've got to say, we were like an organism on that day. We'd got the best footage. And I'm right up in there, I've got the shot of his cuffs, and I run around to the front, and I've got such a great shot. And then we got arrested. And it was live on Fox News. And then also, not only was it live on Fox News, but it was being broadcast on the screen in Times Square. Now, at the time, I didn't think it was funny. I was absolutely crapping myself. But it became one of those moments in the film, which is like a lot of those moments in films that I love. And so for that, I'm grateful, you know, and it always gets a big laugh. And it also says a lot about, you know, as you said, the kind of...
The state of play, yeah.
Yeah, the reaction to...
Robust reaction, yeah.
Basically to, you know, peaceful dissent. Well, I don't know if Alex Jones shouting his head off into a bullhorn is peaceful dissent, but...
It's something. You were kind enough to invite us to the Friends and Family premiere in East London, mm-hmm. which was great, a great event, a great day. Had a lot of beer.
Yeah.
And many other people we asked about the film said that they found the section about first responders especially moving.
Just hear everybody talking about their illnesses and stuff, I just think it's going to have a really strong impact.
That's still going on, and there's the first responders are still suffering greatly for their health.
And then you've got the second half, which is actually very emotional about the first responders.
probably the first responders, I would think. I've not really seen that in-depth interviews with them as I saw in that film.
And the first responders section of the movie, I think, really will sort of nail it home because it has a very personal feel to it.
You don't get that in the mainstream media at all.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about that experience of recording those interviews.
It was incredibly draining, I've got to be honest. It was hard because there's such an injustice going on there. And you're talking to, you know, in three of the cases, we're talking to people that are dying. I feel like that section's almost payment. The audience has to make the payment because they've been so entertained up until that point, and they've been, I know that I've got you. You know, I know that at that moment, the moment where the film goes off on a tangent.
It does take, has a switching pace.
It just switches. And some people love that and just really go with that. And most people, I'd say. But a lot, it does alienate some people. But I knew that was going to happen. It was a conscious decision. My thought process behind that was that I know I've got you. It's been a ride. People have been laughing. It's been entertaining. It's been fun. It's been all those things I wanted it to be, which is a serious subject, but really palatable and really entertaining. But that's the moment where I thought, well, okay, now it's time for you to listen to these guys and what they have to say and what they went through. Because, you know, they deserve that. That they deserve that at the very least. And, you know, I was profoundly affected by meeting the first responders. It totally changed the shape of my film.
Spending that kind of time with both the first responders with their emotional story and the kind of the passion of the 9/11 truth activist must have changed your perspective in some way. And if so, how?
It's an interesting question. My perspective did change, yes. And it changed from viewing the 9/11 truth movement as an eccentric thing, basically by people in Britain, to taking it seriously as a movement. Now, I don't take every facet of it seriously. I don't think that everybody's in it for the right reasons, you know. But I also think that those fundamental questions that I was talking to you about, which bother me, they need to be talked about and they need to be discussed. And I just wanted to create a forum where it's not just dismissed as being silly. I think we need a new investigation into 9/11. Certainly. Absolutely. But I can't say it's an inside job, because I don't think there was some very strange anomalies about the official story, just because I don't understand what that exactly means. It seems like a slogan to me, you know, and that's basically how I feel. I mean, in terms of the first responders, my perspective, I wasn't that exposed to those guys. So my perspective is very clear. They are being hung out to dry. They are heroes who went in there to save people. They are being hung out to dry. They're not being given the health care that they need. And frankly, it's disgusting. They are the silent shame of America. And, you know, they've been used as a propaganda tool, these men and women that died, men and women that ran down on the pile. You know, you see these photographs of them standing on the pile with their flags. They use this as pieces of propaganda, and now they're being treated like pieces of garbage.
The fact that the documentary that you've made, and we have had, you know, great reactions from people who are close to it, but also, you know, a senior filmmaker like Mike Lee is full of praise for it. Hi, I'm speaking to Mike Lee, the famous film director. You've just seen Elephant in the Room. Can I get a reaction to that?
Yeah, it's terrific. It's a really thorough, profound, sensitive, professional piece of work. It gets right to the core of the issue. It leaves you in no doubt whatever. It's not a conspiracy film, but it leaves you in no doubt that there obviously is a fundamental conspiracy. It's a great piece of work, and I just hope it's going to get out there for people to see it and digest it and understand it, and it'll change things. It's terrific.
Maybe you could have a word in a few people's ears.
Well, you know, we've been talking about that. I mean, my problem is because I'm in the story feature film world. If there's anything we can do, we all will help. But, you know, I just feel that it's a piece of work that's going to have to speak for itself, and it does speak for itself. It's really strong.
There's nothing about the nature of the way this film is constructed, from my point of view anyway, which would prevent it getting eyeballs in the mainstream media. So what are your plans or ambitions for the Elephant in the Room now?
Well, basically what we're doing is we're pushing for distribution. And the way the film is made, there's absolutely no reason that a mainstream distributor couldn't pick this up and run with it. It doesn't tell you what to think. It simply reflects a movement which exists and lets you make up your own mind. We're phoning distributors, we're sending them screeners. We're putting on screenings, you know, just trying to get a distributor or sales agent to come on board with us and to push the film out there for us. And obviously what I'd love, you know, I'd love a cinema release. You know, I think it's good enough and it's important enough to get a cinema release. We're hoping that the London Independent Film Festival will just be the first of many. This film deserves to be seen by a wider audience.
I couldn't agree more.
And it could really get under their skin. A lot of people, very straight-laced people that I've shown it to have really come out asking a lot of serious questions.
That's a powerful film. How can people get in touch with you?
Oh, you can email me at dean@nosmokewithoutfire.co.uk. You can also check out the film's website, which is nosmokewithoutfire.co.uk. You can find out all the details there and you can contact me through that.
Thank you, Dean Puckett. Best of luck with The Elephant in the Room.
Thank you very much.
And with what looks like an interesting film career ahead of you.
Thank you very much. And I'd just lastly like to say, go to www.nosmokewithoutfire.co.uk. You can contact me through that website. And yeah, there you go. Take care.
We'll try to get home without getting arrested.
Yeah, I will. No problem.
Take care.